Ladies and gentlemen, the sound you hear is a buzzsaw ripping through a painting of George Washington chopping down cherry trees. It's time for Professor Buzzkill, busting myths and taking names.
Hello, hello, Buzzkillers. It's your favorite professor here. I want to talk this week about George Washington's political ideas. You remember Father George, don't you? The general who won the American War of Independence, became the first president, and is probably the most revered politician in American history. People generally consider him the wisest of the founding fathers, mainly because he wasn't a heavy-duty intellectual like Jefferson or Madison, and not a bean counter and a vote counter like Alexander Hamilton, but he was a practical thinker who's capable of balancing ideas with reality. But the problem is, Americans have ascribed almost every political philosophy to him whenever they need an appeal to authority to bolster their arguments. Well, what does that mean? It means that, like Gandhi and Churchill, quotes and ideas are misattributed to Washington all the time. Now, we could spend this half hour or whatever it is simply playing Washington quote or no quote, but let's look at what the man actually believed and said. Unlike Madison, Monroe, and other founding fathers, Washington did not often ruminate about political philosophy, at least not on paper. But he wasn't entirely silent, and he didn't avoid doing his homework either. If we take Washington as a whole, his education, his military life, his political life, and his most important writings into account, it's clear that Father George was grounded in three essential political philosophical principles. The first was classical republicanism, the second was British liberalism, and the third was Protestant Christianity. Now, what were these ideas in detail? Where did they come from, and what did Washington do with them? Well, the first, classical republican, is probably the easiest to describe. It means representative government, and it's at least as old as ancient Rome, probably older. What happened was, borrowing some political ideas from various Greek philosophers and some political practices from Sparta and Athens, Roman republicans overthrew the kingdom of Rome in 509 BC. They set up a republican government run by two elected consuls and a senate comprised of appointed magistrates. Washington was especially influenced by famous Roman statesman Cincinnatus, after whom the city of Cincinnati is named, and Cicero. Both Cincinnatus and Cicero were Republicans, and they were somewhat obsessed with civic virtue and duty to the public, far and above their own private desires. Now, there's a slight irony here. Cincinnatus served as a temporary dictator at least twice in his career, but the story is that he left his private life without even thinking about it when Rome called for help. The first time, he supposedly left his plow in mid-furrow and put on his consul's toga when Roman magistrates came out to ask him for help. Washington looked to Cincinnatus as a model of duty, although not necessarily as a model for political philosophy because of Cincinnatus agreeing to be a dictator. Cicero was a slightly different story. In addition to being a politician, he was an important philosopher and one of the most prolific and influential political writers in world history. Like Cincinnatus, he believed in the defense and improvement of the Roman state as the highest goal of statesmen and citizens. In fact, he thought that the difficulties and the turmoil that Rome had gone through in its history were because of lapses in virtue, both individual virtue and communal virtue. But he thought the improvement in virtue should begin with Roman elites improving their characters, deepening their commitment to social stability, and frankly, subordinating private desires. The populace would then follow, and Roman virtue would solidify from top to bottom. Now, Washington imbibed these practical and political philosophies as a child. He was tutored privately, and he was given a very heavy reading load that was typical of privately educated landed kids. The second major influence on Washington's political thinking was British liberalism, which is a rising political philosophy in the 18th century, and it stressed constitutionalism. Constitutionalism at that time was the belief that government officials, especially leaders and the monarchy, were bound to an agreed upon set of rules and principles. He read the works of John Locke and other early liberals, while Britain itself was struggling with the overreach of regal power being sought by George II and George III. In fact, this is very, very important, Buzzkillers. Washington was becoming a young politician in the Virginia House of Burgesses at more or less the same time that Britain itself was struggling with monarchical overreach and constitutional strife in the 1750s, 1760s. Now, Washington's early education was followed quickly by political crises that, of course, challenged and also deepened his liberal constitutionalism. For these reasons, it's not surprising that Washington rejected the idea of monarchy for the new American nation. He also worried about the famous entangling alliances with foreign powers because he thought they would limit the ability of the United States to act, you know, in concert with the principles of liberal constitutionalism that he was espousing, he and a lot of other people. Finally, Washington's religious beliefs were very, very strongly held, as was his belief that private faith was to remain private. His belief in the political virtue of religious pluralism, however, came from the kind of biblical Protestant Christianity that he practiced. Washington's Christianity allowed for the inclusion of other religions in the liberal constitutional government he'd grown up to believe would create the best possible society. What makes Washington's beliefs about religion and society so interesting for us is that they don't fit into either of the attitudes towards religion and politics that Americans argue about nowadays. Frankly, the first of these ideas is what you might call accommodationism, the belief that people of different faiths should be given or allowed special concerns or privileges, frankly, related to their religion. So this includes prayer in public schools and things like that. The second idea is complete separatism, the belief that government should stay completely out of religious affairs. There should be literally a wall. Washington's beliefs about the relationship between politics and religion were a lot more subtle than that. All Americans, he thought, should be allowed the fullest measure of liberty that the Constitution would allow. Going back to that constitutionalism idea, remember? If necessary, and this is really the big philosophy behind Washington's political ideas, government would use its powers to protect that liberty or to enforce its extension to previously excluded groups. That's what he believed. That's what he thought about. That's the kind of political background, political philosophy, political ideology he brought to the negotiations over the Constitution, that he brought to his first presidency. When people ascribe other ideas to Washington, Buzzkillers, make sure to run it through this sort of filter to see whether the old George actually thought that. Talk to you next week.
This is Aunt Ginger from Professor Buzzkill, and you're listening to the Epicast Network. Epicast.